This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR.
Welcome to Manawatu Metal, Metalheads Radio. Local, national and international on Access Manawatu 999 AM.
Disclaimer.
This show may contain content which may offend someone out there. These are views reflected by the presenters and not that of the station. Feel free to contact us if you have any issues.
G'day and welcome to Manawatu Metal, Metalheads Radio. This week we were lucky enough to chat with George Colias from the band Nile. They're about to release their newest album on November the 1st, Vile Narcotic. Right, so first off we're going to have the first track off their Long Shadows of Dread, then we'll have the interview, and then we'll have the second track, which is in fact the title track of the album, Vile Narcotic Rites. So without further ado, here is some Nile. Rip it up.
Yeah.
G'day, we're talking with George Colias from the band Nile. They're about to release their newest album on November the 1st, Vile Nilotic Rites. How are you going today there, George?
Everything's cool. Everything's cool. Very happy and looking forward for the release.
Excellent. So, could you tell us a little bit about it? I mean, I know they've released the first single, which is also the namesake of the album, Vile Nilotic Rites. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, actually, the label released two songs, like lyric, videos, and one is the Long Shadows of Dread, which is a classic, like fast technical Nile song. And a few days ago, we released Vile Nilotic Rites, which is the title track. This is a slower, like more epic song, also a little bit complex and with some fast parts during the end. In general, we're extremely happy with this new album. And I mean extremely happy. I'm not saying it because it's a new album. Personally, I think this is our best album yet. The whole process proves my point. For example, we spent a lot of time on the pre-production. This album took over a year to complete, doing demos over and over again before we, hit the actual studio and be like, okay, that's the version we want to do. And then, push ourselves a little bit more. Very happy with the production as well. We had Mark Lewis this time doing the production mix and mastering. Overall, this is an album that we are the happiest ever. I think we did a great job with the pre-production. This time we went really into details and, tried to fine-tune every little element, in the songs, make memorable songs, like, songs that people want to hear and, bang their heads, and have fun, but also, have quality in there. Like, there's a lot of weird time signatures this time. We had to practice a little bit extra, so we were able to play these songs in the studio and now live, because we play three songs on the tour we just did and on the next tour in the US. So, album sounds great. This my favorite production so far. And we're very happy, man. I'm really looking forward for people to listen to the whole thing.
Excellent. So you guys have been writing this for about 4 years, roughly. Could you tell us a little bit about the writing and recording process? And was there many differences this time around?
Yeah. Well, actually, we were touring a lot for What Should Not Be Unearthed, So we pushed it a little bit with the tours, did some extra tours than usual, and we kind of got late on the writing part. So the last year was writing and recording, trying different ideas and all this stuff. Now, what's different? Well, me and Carl, we are in the position, we'll have a little bit more experience, the recordings and what we're looking for, So this time the production was hours. So we recorded the drums. Carl flew to Athens, Greece, and we recorded drums in my studio. So we did ourselves. And then everything, all the rest, was done in Carl's studio in the US. So, and then for the first time, we had Mark Lewis, mixing the album for us. And he found everything really easy. I think that says a lot that for the work me and Carl did, And the results, man, this album sounds great. Like, I can hear every, all my drum parts. I can hear the bass. I can hear every little riff, all the detail. So very happy. It was a little bit extra work. That's all. But we enjoyed.
Yeah, well, I mean, I must say I've been very lucky and I've been able to listen to the album a few times so far, and I must say I'm absolutely thoroughly enjoying it. I mean, I've enjoyed the last few albums anyway, but this one in particular, it really does go off, eh?
Thank you.
It on a few times when me and the girlfriend have jumped into bed and been thrashing away to it. Oh, man, it goes off, man. It's a very fun album.
It's nice to hear, man. That's nice to hear.
Excellent. So, a little bit about yourself. Could you tell us a little bit about what was your first recollection of music, and what was it that made you want to become a musician?
I started with metal like really young. I think it was like 7 years old. Me and my brother, actually. My brother is older, so he was the main influence for me, you know, to listen to metal. I was 7 years old by then. We bought some AC/DC albums. Actually, my first album was Flick of the Sweets from AC/DC. So nice. There you go. Australians. Power Slave from Maiden, you know. So I consider myself like a metalhead from my very early age. You know, going to, you know, like third grade or something in school, and, you know, with Maiden t-shirts. And, you know, this was, you know, there were really different years, you know, like there were no metalheads in my town, yeah. Not in the school, like yeah. My town. So that was a little bit too extreme, you know, back then. Now the musician thing, to be honest, I never wanted to become a professional musician. I had other things in my mind, you know, but I used to love, you know, studying my instrument, you know, like playing drums, like it's in my blood, you know, I never stopped. So I never considered to become like do it as a full-time job until I joined Nile. That was in 2004. So, you know, I know the situation with Greek musicians, and believe me, it's not the best. So, you know, I think the only way was to get in a band from abroad, you know. And thankfully, it started with Nile. Yeah, it's been like over 16 years now. It's going great.
That's absolutely brilliant. I understand you first started out with guitar. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Again, my brother, yeah, he got a guitar and he, you know, started learning guitar. So I'm like, well, that's a good opportunity. I always, you know, wanted to get a drum set. The problem is, you know, if you're like 10 years old and want to get a drum set, you know, you got to have rich parents, I guess, you know, and I didn't, you know.
Yeah.
Music instruments back then, they were very expensive, you know. Now they have a very cheap solutions, you know, so that was not the case back then. So I had to wait for a couple of years, and then my father, you know, bought me the first drum set, and there you go. The damage is done, you know.
Excellent. So being that you played guitar and all that sort of thing to start with, how did that affect people that hear music in different ways. I mean, for me, I hear guitar first. That's the first thing I hear. Mm-hmm. And you being a drummer, people would sort of expect you to hear the drums or listen to the drums first. But the fact that you were a guitar player first, what is it that you hear when you listen to your music?
It definitely helps a lot to understand my bandmates. So when I jam with people, when I'm on stage with some other musicians, you know, I just see the bigger image. I think that's the right word. It helped with a lot of things, you know, understanding the music, the songs, what your bandmate wants to do, you know, like all this stuff. So I always push my drum students or, you know, people at my clinics to study more than one instrument, of course. In this case, on this Last Night album, I wrote the song for the first time in the band. So I delivered the song, like a full song. And there you go. First time after all these years. So I really, really enjoy writing music anyways, which I do for personal projects, but I never did for Nile before. I think it's a bless. If you have the chance to learn more than one instrument, you got to do it, you know, because then you get the bigger image.
Well, that's right, and yeah. I mean, it's like I said. I mean, some people hear music only one way, and if you can be, open up your mind more and listen to the several instruments, like you say, or play several instruments, it does let you see things a lot clearer and a lot bigger picture. Oh man, that's absolutely brilliant. So, I've lost my bloody train of thought there. Now, the new album. You said you wrote a song. What song was that?
It's called Where is the Wrathful Sky? You know, it's one of them. I think it stands really good in the album, although I got offered to do it in the past, and I didn't want to do it because I don't think my guitar skills are like close to these guys, you know, like Carl and Brian. So yeah. I was always like, yeah, it's okay. You know, I want to stay with my drums and, you know, you guys do the job. But this time it started as an accident, actually, because Carl wanted to experiment and start the opposite way. For example, me writing drum parts and giving drum parts. So then he can compose on the drum parts. And we started, you know, as an experiment, like I said. So when I sent him the track, I was like, okay, this is not a drum solo. It can be a track, like, you know. So your approach should be like, okay, maybe that's a guitar track, like, or something. And he was like, if you have guitars, send them to me. I'm like, I don't have guitars. That's everything is in my brain. So finally, he asked me to write some stuff, and it took me like a couple of hours, and I came up with the song. But then again, played from these guys sounds even better, you know. So it makes a big difference, you know, to have like a great guitar players playing your music.
Oh mate, I mean, dude, that's like a huge mark of respect from the rest of the band, isn't it? Really, yeah. I mean, that's absolutely brilliant, hey?
Yeah.
So you've done a bit of a biography, and you've done quite a bit of other stuff, working with other musicians and all that sort of stuff and other bands. What would you say are two of your favourite other projects that you've done that people should check out?
I do a lot of session work, for sure. You know, my favourite, that's a difficult one. I try to do stuff that's different. The Nile, okay, that's my number one rule. So I want to experiment with other stuff. I played speed metal, power metal, you know, whatever, fusion stuff, you know. My favorite right now, other than the Nile, of course, is my other band, my official band. They called Royal Time Machine, and it's a fusion progressive jazz project. It's a trio. So that's my, you know, like a daily practice, you know, like playing something completely different than death metal, because I play death metal for all my life. But it kind of works for death metal too, because I get other elements, you know, from, you know, I get elements from other styles of music and mix it with what we do with Nile. And this is probably the reason the drumming in this album is more like deep, you know. I spend a lot of time getting, you know, like really deep into feels, for example, and try to marry like feels from like gospel music and, you know, put them in, mix them in death metal and stuff, which was really crazy as a thought. But, you know, now listening to the album, like, wow, this is a new thing, you know. So usually my favorite ones, back to your question, is projects or session recordings that sounds completely different, you know, that nobody would expect from me. So yeah, my second band is one example.
Oh, mate, that's absolutely brilliant. I mean, and that's it. I mean, it must help with the death metal as well, like you say, because you it gives you a freshness as well and different inspiration. I mean, because that's the thing. I mean, it must be quite difficult to an extent to create something fresh every album that you put out.
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, if you want to evolve, yes, you gotta find elements from, you know, other styles, or, you know, like experiment with new ideas. Anyways, but it's very easy to repeat yourself. Like I can write an album, you know, like I did in the past, for example, for my solo project. So I can do the same, but that's not the goal for us. The goal is to grow as musicians and have people, you know, like understand that you know, we're not here to just record an album. We want to, you know, go a little bit beyond.
Oh, mate, that's absolutely brilliant. So I've only got a few more moments left with you. But first question before we go is, what does heavy metal mean to you?
What's a lifestyle? I mean, it used to be a lifestyle, like, you know, you're a metalhead and that's it, you know. You're more dedicated in the music, for sure. All metalheads are. But now it means a little bit less for me, because for me now, the way I see music in general is like good music and bad music. So maybe I listen to, you know, an extreme death metal band, and then like 2 minutes later I can listen to Tool or jazz. You know, it doesn't really, really matter. Of course, I consider myself a metalhead. You know, I served this music for many, many years, since I was 12, actually. So as a musician, I'm saying. But yeah, I'm a little bit more open-minded right now to good music, even if it's a different style. It doesn't really matter.
Oh, mate, that's absolutely brilliant. Got two questions for you left. First off is words of advice for young musicians.
Advice. If you really want to do something, I think they will succeed if they really want to do it. Problem is, I would talk for my drum students in general, because I had many online private lessons, clinics, you know, workshops, like all this stuff for many years. People want, you know, they want the magic pill that you take it and you get to level whatever the level we are, the professionals. There is a lot of time you have to spend on the instrument, you know, and you have to be patient. And if you really love the instrument, sometime you get there, you know. So my first advice is, you know, find something you really like and do it as much as you can. That's it.
Mate, that's absolutely brilliant. Okay, I've got one last question, and that is, I'm actually down in New Zealand. Any chance you guys are heading back down to New Zealand, Australia soon?
We are in the talks right now for an Australian tour. I know that for sure. And we possibly do Japan as well on the same run. So it's going to be Japan, Australia, or Australia, Japan. I don't know. I don't know about New Zealand. I would love to go there. It's been a while, actually. So, yeah, I would really love to get there again. But this is something we see for maybe April. I heard something about April. So hopefully, man, because we didn't make it on the last album. We're too busy touring the States and Europe, and it just didn't work out. So I hope this time we'll do it.
Sure. Listening to live and on-demand shows has never been easier on NPR. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Play Store on your device and search up Access Internet Radio NZ. Select and download the first option at the top of the list. Once you've downloaded the app, the next step is to open the app and look for NPR. Once found, select it and then browse freely. Supported by New Zealand On Air.
Support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.
Welcome to Metal 2 Metal, Metalheads Radio. Local, national and international on Access Metal 2 999 AM.
Disclaimer. This show may contain content which may offend someone out there. These are views reflected by the presenters and not that of the station. Feel free to contact us if you have any issues.
Okay, for this section of the show, we're going to have some new releases. First off, we've got something from Carnifex with two tracks from their World War X album. We've got Visions of the End and Eyes of the Executioner, one of my favourites. Then we're going to have Blood Eagle with a track off there, To Ride in Blood and Bathe in Greed, part one. There's actually two parts to it, but this is the track Unsung Zeroes. Then we're going to have some Blind Guardian from their Twilight Orchestra album with Legacy of the Darklands, and the track The Storm. And then we'll finish it all off with some Avatarium and the Fire from the Fire I Long For, which is their newest album about to be released very soon, and the track Rubicon. Enjoy.
Crush the soul. We know. to hide. But even then, it's just a matter of time. I was not afraid when it all began. I was picking up the pieces when a voice in sorrow sang. Thought I heard a madman crying. Oh no, there she comes, those to the darkened sun, armed with weapons and magic spells. Men, you better run. Men, you better run. They're at the gate. Souls, for the harvest is rich, seed has grown. The reaper's surrounded by ghosts. Surrender and die. You die. Yes, there is no one else like me. And I will break
when
free.
Everything's lost, there's nothing to fear.
The invincible creatures no longer will hunger. Immortal as shadows, the kingdom will come. Warrior, warrior. Gather up on the behind my closed doors. Truth, gloom and doom, fools and stars. Enslaved but still alive. The righteous, the pure, he must wait till his time is at hand.
Constellation.
Behold the Queen of
support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.
Listening to live and on-demand shows has never been easier on NPR. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Play Store on your device and search up Access Internet Radio NZ. Select and download the first option at the top of the list. Once you've downloaded the app, the next step is to open the app and look for NPR. Once found, select it and then browse freely. Supported by New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Metal 2 Metal, Metalheads Radio. Local, national and international on Access Metal 2 999 AM.
This is a heavy metal disclaimer.
This show may contain content which may offend someone out there. These are views reflected by the presenters and not that of the station. Feel free to contact us if you have any issues.
Big tour coming up October this year. They're doing 12 centres, celebrating 10 years of Devilskin. I mean, hell, man, can you believe it? How you going, Paul?
Oh, really good, Terry. Couldn't have you long. Good to be in Manawatu Metal, women, and thank you for all the support. Oh, mate, absolute pleasure, mate. I mean, dude, we've been watching you the last 10 years. Well, hey, most of us have probably been watching you a hell of a lot longer than that. But 10 years with Devil Skin. I mean, dude, what a journey.
Yeah, man, that's pretty hard when you pretty frequently think about it. But, yeah, 10 years with just that long slip by. And, you know, for a lot of bands, it's just how long it takes to, if you can sort of stay together and work hard, it's how long it takes to get to focus.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bands that just pop up and just instantly become amazing, but yeah, we're taking a bit of a slow route. And we want to do everything right and under our own terms and conditions, you know, but yeah, 10 years, and then it's different. Yeah, we're starting to have a good party all the time on the road.
Excellent. So, yeah, I mean, thinking back to those first gigs, I mean, I remember some of the first ones myself. I remember going up to Whanganui to see you and Beyond the Black. Oh, I can't even remember what year that was. But, I mean, that was right back at some of those first gigs. I mean, what was it like then, and how much has that changed now?
It's kind of feels like none of it's changed. And even if I think back, a friend of mine from my very first band in Wellington, Tyrant, has written a book. And I was working through it, and I forgot all my shit from the end of the day to my very first band, you know?
Yeah.
You know, we were rehearsing 5 nights a week back then. And that's all you do, is you just rehearse, and you work, and you write songs, and you just go out and gig. And for me, I feel like I'm doing exactly the same thing that I've always done. And with Devil Skin, when we started, you know, let's start off small. And I know Jenny, when he first kind of into jamming with us, she didn't want to leave town or go on any big tours. Well, we'll play some local gigs, but I don't want to get too serious. And they're like, yeah, sure. So, you know, we started doing a few local gigs, then we got out of town and we took them to Wellington and Palmerston and places like that. And we had such a good time. And every time we went back, the crowds were slightly bigger and we invested more money into the light show and the stage show. But right from the beginning, we went hard to give people a show. You know, we'd get to the venue hours early, and usually Niall and myself would be and waking up all these red curtains so that people walk in. It's like, wow, the stunning sort of look. So, yeah, right from the beginning, we wanted to take it seriously, and we've just worked our asses off, and now it's awesome because we've got a crew that work just as hard as us. And, you know, we've obviously made a lot of friends over the 10 years, and we get to do it on a bigger level each time we go out and tour.
Excellent, man. So you've done the two albums so far.
Three.
Albums. Oh, Jesus, sorry, man. Oh, yeah, okay. Two studio albums, a live album. What's the next step? I mean, you've released two singles so far. Is singles the next thing for you guys? I mean, because I know a lot of bands are looking at that, or have you got something planned for hopefully next year or something?
It's all part of the strategy, and when you've got releases, you kind of need to have a plan. So you put out this song, and then a few months later you're going to put out this song. And that's the idea, to keep people hooked in and interested. And the other thing is, you don't want to just blow everything at once, saying, here's all our stuff, boom, you know. You need to get some miles out of it, if you like. But, yeah, we've got a new album in the can. It's not quite finished, just a few little tweaks, but it's pretty much done, and I tell you, we are just over the moon about the songs. We're so happy. We demoed something like 30 songs for this album and had to narrow it down to 13.
Ouch.
So we had a lot to choose from, which is a really good position to be in. And yeah, we think we've picked the strongest songs, and they sound freaking awesome. So we won't be releasing it for a little while yet. It'll probably be early next year at this stage, but we've still got a couple of songs to roll out before then, for sure.
Excellent. So, will there be any new tracks played for the upcoming tour?
On the tour, yes, indeed. Yeah, you just try and stop us. I mean, we're going to play plenty of the old favourites, and we're going to dig deep in some tracks that we haven't played live for years and years and years. Yeah, we're going to definitely throw in some new stuff, because, like I say, we're really excited about these songs.
Excellent. No, that's very cool. So, on a slightly different tangent, but more towards yourself, what were some of your first recollections of music? What was the first thing that sort of made you, that pricked up your ears and made you want to pick up the guitar?
It wasn't guitar actually, but I remember, I think I was five, and I heard Louis Armstrong on the radio and might have been on the black and white television. And this trumpet just, whoa, man, it just touched me. It's so good. And, I just always wanted to play trumpet, and it wasn't until I got to third form at school where I actually got myself a trumpet. And I got really good at it. I found it a lot easier than I find guitar and bass. But we shifted after a year and moved down to Wellington and Osborne School. And at the school I went to didn't have an orchestra, and we were in this built-up area, and I suddenly was paranoid about this freaking loud instrument that I had practicing so much. So a little while later I bumped into these guys, and they'd formed a band that were looking for a bass player, so I bought a bass and went, that's me. And I couldn't play a note, but I said, I didn't know how to tune it anyway. But managed to baffle them and joined this band. But, it's kind of, I grew up listening to all sorts of music. My family wasn't particularly musical, but there's a lot of records there, and I just grab all these old Chuck Berry stuff and just Howard Morrison, a lot of old rock and roll stuff. And then because I was the youngest of four, my older sisters were writing to Uriah Heep and Led Zeppelin, and that changed my life.
Nice.
And then one day when my brother brought home a Black Sabbath Greatest Hits LP, man, that was it. I'm going to learn a guitar. So I picked up a bass because I thought it'd be easy, but I'm still stuck going away 10 years later. That's a lot of fun.
But a multi-instrumentalist, I don't think many people would know that about you.
Well, I tell you what, there's a multi-instrumentalist in the band, and that's Nick. He actually picks up anything you throw at him and plays it really well. He's a stunning guitarist. He's played a little bit of everything on the new album, actually, on the new recording. He's done a little bit of bass on there and a little bit of guitar and all the drums. He's had a big part in the production. He's played some keyboards on it as well. So, yeah, now I pale in comparison to my son's drumming multi-instrumentalism, I can tell you.
Oh, mate, isn't that awesome, though? Yeah, I mean, because that's the thing you want for your kids, isn't it? For them to be even, more than what you were.
He challenges me every rehearsal. I'm my game up. It's a decent rhythm section with him. He's awesome. So it's great. We got such a good... It's been, 10 years. I think Nick's been with us for 9 of those 10 years, so... pretty much from the start, but we're all grown together and musically we play stuff and then we're all reading each other's minds. It's a lot of fun, and you only get that sort of connection when you've been together for so long, and the fact that it's family for us is a big bonus,
Oh, that's right, mate. Oh, mate, that's absolutely brilliant. Well, I mean, you've done 10 years now, and you've toured, all sorts of places. You've been all through New Zealand, and you've even been overseas and all that sort of stuff, download through Europe, all that sort of stuff. But what would you sort of, what's your favourite venue to play? I mean, is it back in New Zealand, or was download so bloody mind-blowing, or what?
I mean, I get asked this a lot. And I think my favourite venue is the next one, we have such a good time at the Mayfair in New Plymouth. It's a great venue. The power station's awesome. And, we've had some freaking brilliant nights at the Foro and Pony,
We have.
Anywhere where there's a room, man, I'm stoked with it. I have to say that my mind was completely blown the last time we went through Europe with Hailstorm, because we're playing some massive arenas over there. And then we played in Madrid in a big bullfighting ring. Holy crap, that's just... you get blown away, and there's all these amazing purpose-built venues all over Scandinavia and stuff like that. So, we're turning up in Denmark and just going to this room that's just built for big bands, and it sounds amazing, and you can see who's been there, and all your heroes have been in that room, from Dream Theatre to everyone. It's just... the touring circuit over there, there's all these amazing rooms, and all these big bands play through there, so, going through with Hailstorm, we've got to experience these incredible venues, and I've got too many favourites to list. Obviously, our hometown crowd is really special, and New Zealand crowd's really special, but, when you go overseas and somewhere like Italy, and you can see people singing the words of their songs, that's sort of, wow, pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I remember going over to, even just going to Australia, to Newcastle years ago when 8 Foot were playing, and and 8 Foot had that same thing that you guys have, in the sense that they were really good with their crowds, and they would come out, they were, you know, like friendly afterwards and all that sort of stuff. Because not all bands do that.
Those guys would have wanted a beer for sure.
Oh, they did that, but they were also, you know, they were just always accommodating and to their fans. That's what I always loved about them, and I was a huge fan. So, but yeah, going over there, and I was, there was probably about five of us across the front row, and every other Aussie was back to the wall, and just going hard nuts and singing along and all that sort of stuff. And the reception I got from Jackhammer afterwards was just, you know, it was amazing. And as a fan, that was just, you know, it was something special for us as well.
Yeah, man, there's something really cool about seeing a New Zealand band playing overseas, you know?
Oh, yeah, there is, eh?
Yeah. It's a cool feeling. And those guys, yeah, like you say, they work the crowd, and they do it because they love it. And we all do it because we're big music fans ourselves, you know? We're the biggest music fans that we know, and we get to play for other people. But, you know, when it comes to it, you know, I think, there's a download in the UK, we were playing there, and we were doing an interview, and Devin Townsend walked past, and Nick was just like, excuse me just for 1 second. I just filmed the interview, and he ran off to shake Devin Townsend's hand, and it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're all like that, man, and, you know, the 8 Foot guys, they love their music, and they love the fact that people come and see them, and, you know, inspirational to see bands that just dig their crowd and are grateful. We all are.
In any way, do you think that it's a New Zealand thing at all? I mean, that's just a random thought. Because, I mean, you sit there and watch... Sorry?
I think we're tighter. I think New Zealand, you know, our crowds and stuff, we're a little bit tighter.
Yeah.
And because we're such a small country and so close to Antarctica, we miss out on all the big shows and stuff. So when we do go to those concerts, we really make a meal of it.
Well, that's right. Our appreciation is something quite different, I think. And plus, I find that when we do get these shows, and we get such intimate shows, it's not like these like getting Carcass standing right in front of you type thing. You know, you wouldn't get that in any other country. You'd have a big barrier, and, you know, you're lucky if you get a meter. You know, but here you're right, like, you're in touching distance and things like that.
We're pretty lucky.
Yeah.
You know, we miss out a lot of stuff, but when we do get it, it's awesome.
That's right. I mean, it must be pretty amazing also watching bands like Alien Weaponry and how they're going. I mean, just...
So proud of those boys. It's really, really cool to watch. I think they've done over 100 shows overseas now in a really short amount of time. So they're up there with our hardest working artists ever, those guys. And they're completely smashing it. And, yeah, really proud of them. I talked to our management into taking them out on tour years ago, I think... the guys were only 12 at the time, and we did half a dozen shows with them around the North Island, and I just thought, man, these guys just got this. I don't know, they just had something about them. They were just determined.
Yeah.
And yeah, when everything blew up to them, man, no one happier than us with them. It's brilliant.
Well, that's right. I mean, and that's it. I mean, I remember I was lucky enough to interview them way back in those days as well, and I mean, I was just amazed at how clued up they were, but you know, skills, they were savvy.
And they were
nailing it, mate, and I was impressed.
You can't get to the level that they're cruising at the moment and not have issues with
them. Yeah.
They're totally doing everything properly.
Yeah.
And you know, the boys there, Neil, who's been managing the band, has been a serendipity for you. He's been playing a band called Ebony Sai, I think they're based in Waihe years ago, and they used to open up for a band called Nightshade that I used to play in.
Holy hell!
And then years later, Alien Weaponry, his sons are opening up to Devil's Skin.
Yeah.
And then a couple of years after that, my son's opening up to their band was his band Seize the Conflict.
Dude, how cool was that, man?
That's the circle of life. It is, man.
That's the beauty of metal, though, and that's what I love about metal so much, is, you know, it's all those little things.
It's a small world, and, you know we all try to be as encouraging of other bands as we can and give everyone a foot up, and just you know, when you see someone that's really passionate about it, you go, man, you guys need to get somewhere.
Yeah.
That's just really satisfying to watch.
Oh, it is, eh? And that's it. I mean, it's a pleasure sitting back here watching and seeing them representing New Zealand, you know.
Yeah.
on the big stage. I mean, dude, Slayer's final European show, you know, they're out on tour with Anthrax, man, dude. I mean, what the hell? This is a little Kiwi band.
Every metal's dream gig, man, and they're getting all of them. It's fantastic. It's really something for the guys.
Oh, yeah, man, it's absolutely brilliant. I mean, dude, you guys have helped in that because you put your, put New Zealand on the map as well, along with 8 Foot. You know, it's been those little steps along the way.
Yeah. That's, but you got nothing unless you've got a really dedicated band, and you know, against all odds, man, we see them and we see them on stage at Bucken and all these amazing festivals, but you know, they're out the back staying in a tent and eating noodles and doing it hard. You know, it's not an easy thing to do, to go on tour for months and months and months and months, and those guys, you know, they're obviously real young and just lapping it up, but and they're making the most of it, and they're doing everything right. And obviously with Napalm Records behind them, wow,
yep.
There's no stopping them.
Well, that's right, and obviously the Napalm saw something in them. But they've actually got a few on their list, haven't they, from New Zealand? Napalm does, I believe. It's not just them. I think they've got Stalker on there too, aren't they? Yeah, I'm pretty sure Stalker on there. I might be wrong.
We're starting to make waves. Very little old New Zealand can't get ignored for too much longer. You know, Beast Wars has been making a big noise in Australia.
They have.
It'd be great to see them bust out and go to the States or something, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think it'll be long, eh? And that's, I mean, I was going to ask you about that, sort of the state of New Zealand metal. And, I mean, for me, I sort of have seen it, watched it grow and grow and grow. It obviously goes through cycles, but we're in a really strong place at the moment.
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah, so many good bands, so many. And they're all working hard. They all seem to have a really solid work ethic and they're not afraid to get out there and gig.
Yeah.
And, yeah, my hat goes off to them, man. The scene's pretty good at the moment. Bands like Drones, you know,
yep.
In the Sun.
Yep.
Seeds of Conflict are just smashing it. They're just doing everything right at the moment, too. They're starting to get quite a bit of notice from overseas. So.
Well, that's right. I mean, even though I'm getting stuff from Australia, that lots of promos that have come out and they're sending me stuff that's like from New Zealand and it's like, hey, cool.
So it's taken a while to get any notice. Australia's been freaking hard, man.
Yep.
It's been real hard for Devilskin. We've been there 4 times now, and I think the last song went through was Slash, so it was a doddle for us, you know, it was easy with playing the Slash's crowd. But, you know, the tours we've gone over there off our own bat have been tough, and it's really hard to get airplay, and it's really hard to get support over there when you're a Kiwi band, you know?
Yep.
But you just got to keep chipping away at it, slog away at it, and you know, do it,
keep
smart and do things like that.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Got two last questions for you before we let you go. First one is, what does metal mean to you?
Man, it means... loyalty, respect, passion, security. I feel great when I listen to music. You know, it's a healing. Metal, I mean, man, there's so many different facets of metal, but metal to me generally is just the coolest thing. It's just everything to me. Music makes me feel good. I love sharing it so much, you know, like through the X Attack and through Devilskin, World War IV. And, you know, I don't want to seem disparaging of any other sort of music, but there's R&B and hip hop stuff and pop stuff I see on TV. It isn't, to me, it's not even music, you know, half of it. But it's not music, it's not what I get from it. Music to me has got to be special and got to have some sort of passion and some sort of feeling behind it. And metal, wow, it's just, it's the genres of that, you know.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, Paul. I mean, and that's it. I mean, metal is something quite special, and even the community and the whole environment, everything is just so much different from any other genre. You wouldn't have.
Yeah, and the thing with a lot of other genres, you know, people skip between them all the time. One week they're into space dub, and the next minute they're into blooming dance or whatever. You know what I mean? But you've met Liz. Especially your older guys like me that grew up listening to AC/DC and Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin, you know, a heap of more cool stuff, still like that music and I find it quite easy to embrace a lot of the new stuff and just roll with it because it's still staunch. But, you know, we don't change our spots. What I'm saying is our metalers don't change their spots after a blooming 10 years. They usually love the music to death, and it's a lifestyle. It's not just a hobby.
Oh, no, damn straight, mate. And that's it. 30 years for me so far. I'm not going to change. Never.
That's it, man. That's it. I mean, you've been flying this flag for so long. You've been working your ass off for other bands for New Zealand music for so long. And it's satisfying to do that, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
The reward is itself.
Yeah.
Oh, no, there's nothing better, you know. And, for me, it's life, you know. I could have gone and got a bloody normal job and been a normal person. It's not me. I'm a metalhead, you know. And that's it. It's a lifestyle. It's everything.
Yeah, man. And without people like you bringing the music to everyone else, it falls over, doesn't it? So, yeah, you're an integral part of why these bands are successful and why bands think, oh, what's the point of recording a song because no one's going to play it? Well, there's outlets for good metal in New Zealand. So, what you're doing is fantastic. It's keeping the whole thing running.
Oh, I appreciate that, Paul, and it was thanks to people like you that led the way. you were always a big inspiration to me, and that was it. And so, you know, the flag was flying before me, and I'm just sort of trying to carry on waving it along with all the others.
we're all on the same page. You know, when I started doing the X-Attack, and that, there was nothing before that for Nicholas. So, in a way, I was really lucky that I was able to stay with the Rock for so long. First on student radio for 6 years, and then on the Rock for... I don't know, 20-something. But yeah, it's 32 years now of the X-Attack, so...
Yeah.
Old dogs, new tricks, you know, I'll be here till the end and then some.
Oh, mate, that's absolutely brilliant. You know, I think I've been 30 years, it'd be roughly about how long I've been doing radio for, too. And it was, I started back in student radio, too. But I always kept amateur. But, oh, dude, that's where it's at, you know. For me, that's what it's all about.
And the heavy metal... ethos is all about passion. You're passionate about it, and that's basically the bottom line.
Right? Yeah, and that's it. I mean, you know, metalheads are passionate, and it's something that they love. It's not, you know, people get into hip hop, or they might get into some classical, but you know, you don't find them loving it so much as, you know, a metalhead loves his metal. We'll break bones for it.
Exactly. You know, the really cool thing about Devilskin, and it's all the years that I've been playing in bands, and I've never seen anything quite like it, but the age range of our audience is freaking crazy, because we get people saying, hey, I'm going to send in a video of my 4-year-old daughter in the car singing the top of her voice to one of your songs. And yeah, we get guys coming to our gigs that are in their 70s. You know, we get like everything in between. But, you know, to have such a cool youth audience and such a cool older audience as well, man, that's pretty cool, you know?
Well, that's it. You know, I mean, it's real lucky that, I mean, we've had the years to build this up, you know. I wouldn't say I was around at the birth of metal, but, you know, fairly early on. And we've watched it grow, and we're now passing that on through the generation, so it's our kids that are coming up, you know. And it is cool. I mean, I sit there and my kids sort of, my girl, I'm trying to get her into some of the female singers and things like that, and, you know. It's empowering for them, and that's what they need.
Yeah, and I've been really enjoying lately working with a couple of school bands here in Hamilton and doing a bit of mentorship sort of some younger bands, and that's really fulfilling, man. There's some stunning talent out there. And this one band I've been helping out, the guitar player, is, I think he's 13, and he can play any Marty Friedman Megadeth stuff.
Oh, wow.
Insanely good. He's really young and he's really humble, and he's a sweet dude. He's got everything. He's doing everything right, you know. And man, to see stuff like that going on,
oh,
just makes me happy.
Oh, that's it. Oh, dude. Oh, anyway, I've got one more question for you. We better bloody wrap it up because we're bloody going on for ages. One last question, and that is words of advice for young musicians.
Words of advice for young musicians: work hard, and I think one of the hardest things about being in a band is just finding the right team of people to be with, and you don't always find that perfect lineup straight away, but when you do, you've got to hold on to it, you know, and you've just got to me, you know, being in a band, you've got your family at the top of the list, your family are the most important people in your life, and then your band, and then your best friends, and then your other friends, you know, so like being in a band is such a special thing. So my advice to young bands is like, get your best friends together and make a band and enjoy yourselves and have fun and work hard. And that's the powerful idea, you know. I still get goosebumps at rehearsals. I get, you know, sometimes it's as satisfying just playing a rehearsal as it is playing a big gig somewhere, because you're making music with people that you love. So,
yeah,
my advice is just go and find the right people and just get together and make music that makes you all feel good and fun.
Oh, mate, that's absolutely brilliant advice. Congratulations on 10 years of Devil Skin.
Support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.
Listening to live and on-demand shows has never been easier on NPR. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Play Store on your device and search up Access Internet Radio NZ. Select and download the first option at the top of the list. Once you've downloaded the app, the next step is to open the app and look for NPR. Once found, select it and then browse freely. Supported by New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Battle 2 Metal, Metalheads Radio. Local, national and international on Access Battle 2 999AM.
This is a heavy metal disclaimer.
This show may contain content which may offend someone out there. These are views reflected by the presenters and not that of the station. Feel free to contact us if you have any issues.
And for this section, we're just going to finish off with a few more tracks from Devil Skin, just to sort of celebrate their 10 years on the road, etc. First, we're going to have Fade. Then we will have We Rise. Then Never See the Light, Start a Revolution, and we'll finish off with Believe in Me. And have a good week.
Christmas.